Morning, everybody. I'm Jeff, one of the pastors, and I'm delighted to be preaching in this series with the rest of our preaching team, The Sacred Gathering. This series, was this clear to you last week? As Pastor Ben beautifully taught on the Lord's table, but is it clear to you that this series is about what we're doing on Sunday mornings and why we do it? Did you know that? That's what we're about. That's what this series is about. Let's parse what we do on Sunday morning in order for us, all of us, to be reflective and enter in fully to maximize, this is why we're doing what we do on a Sunday morning, this sacred gathering that we have. We tried to preach a version of this, tried to do this 5 years ago, actually, almost 6 years ago, that we started. We had one Sunday, and then we got shut down for COVID. And so we tried, it had a different title, but we tried doing this thing then, hey, what do we meet together for? And then we didn't meet together. And then we met together online. And then chaos ensued and we're all still recovering. But all the more now to be we're together now. And so what are we doing here? What are we doing in this sacred gathering? And my sermon today is almost sort of like it's sort of like an overview of the whole series, but it's illustrated by a couple of things. This phrase that I want you to see is sort of this main point that we're gathering together as a foundation of doing life together. We gather as a foundation of doing life together. This isn't the only life we do together, as you can tell by all the other conversations that we do. And you hear about other things that are happening, but it's a foundation for life together because life together, we believe, is what God has called us to do. And I'm going to talk about that the rest of the time. It's illustrated perfectly. It's a little bit of an overview of the whole series, but it's also really perfectly illustrated by why we do a couple of things, why we do this couch time almost every single week, and why we do announcements almost every single week. You're like, you got assigned the announcement sermon? That's awesome. Yes, I want to talk about what we do in this thing. You know, the couch times, you know, I think we got the photo of one of them. There's just kids and chaos and conversation. And you even heard it this morning. These guys took extra time this morning to communicate to us what God was doing and why that this important that we're together, like this foundation of doing life together. We just see over here on the couches, life and conversation illustrate that God is at work. Listen, when you see a couch time, I want you to think to yourself, oh, God's at work. Praise God that he's at work in our church. Praise God that he could be at work in your life. Praise God for more work in our world. That's what you see when you see the couch time. One of the favorite things I love about couch time is the times that we call people up without them being prepared. That's my favorite. If you're here for the first or second time, I will not do that to you. But after that, all bets off. And part of what we love about having people up on the sofa unprepared is that it's this authentic experience that God's real in people's lives. And they don't have it all figured out and they haven't articulated it at all, but we're just talking and sharing stories and testimonies that God's at work. Similarly, when we do announcements, it's the same thing. It's God's asked us to be a part of all kinds of things. I don't remember a few weeks ago when Blake came up and did announcements. That might have been my favorite announcements for I don't know if you were here that day. But he crushed those announcements. But from time to time, we've had students up here to help us with announcements to sort of bring life to what we call family business when we do announcements. Hey, we got some family business. I don't know about your family. Whenever we had family business, somebody was in trouble. So it's always this sort of heavy dynamic. But when you see announcements, I want you to think to yourself, God's at work. God is at work. And the announcement piece, much like this couch piece, but the announcement piece also is, oh, and there might be an invitation for me to join God where he's at work. And so this thought, celebrating God being at work, an invitation to jump in on where God is at work is part of this life together that we do. And so I'm calling my sermon today, Life Together, because us gathering is a foundation for doing life. I want to turn to a really familiar text to some of us in Hebrews chapter 10. And the last time I preached it was almost 6 years ago, the Sunday before COVID. But it's one of my favorite verses. It's always underlined in all my Bibles. And it's Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. So I'd love to have you look. It's going to be on the screen. It says this. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Again, we gather as a foundation for doing life together. And this passage is calling us. If you look back at that passage again, I want you to see that. When we look at this passage, it's calling us to consider how we may be encouraging one another, spurring one another on. Not, it says in verse 25, not giving up meeting together. That was actually the point of my sermon. That phrase 6 years ago, the Sunday before COVID, that was the phrase that I preached on. Let's not give up meeting together. Literally, that is what I preached on. And then the next week, we're like, sorry, hey, we're going to have to give up meeting together. But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, we'll parse that text a little bit more as we look into the points. I'm going to make 3 points about why it is that we gather. Why would we do these announcements celebrating God being at work in our place and inviting you into it? But also, like, what happens when we do that? What is the point of sort of being together and living life together? First, we gather to encourage one another. We gather to encourage one another. Anybody feel encouraged when they come here? I mean, it's a thing, right? It's a thing. There's something that happens when you come. Some people report feeling encouraged when they drive in the parking lot and they see people getting out of their cars and they see the diversity of the people getting in here and walking in here, single, young, old, like all the people. Like they're like, this is good. And then the things that happen just amplify that. I use the cycling illustration because we know the cycling illustration. I've probably used this. I have this in my file because I probably had this up so many times in different times that I've taught because I'm a cyclist and I just love getting there with my friends when we go cycling together and you draft on one another and you talk. There's this sense of encouragement that happens in that. Drafting is the coolest thing ever. You know, these guys that are riding on one of their on the wheel of somebody else, you think, do they have some sort of a weird death wish? Like, why are they insisting on doing that? And the reason, of course, as you know, is that when you're that close to the other cyclist, the draft created sucks you along. And I don't know, you guys that are triathletes, like, what's the percentage that it gets easier? Do you know that number, Peter? 30%. It's 30% easier. So a third of what you're carrying in life gets relieved by being that close to somebody in cycling. And I just love that idea. And I love that. And when you're that close and there's a draft, you're like riding in a vacuum. Like you don't feel the wind and you can talk like at a normal voice and the person can hear you. And I cycle with Jens Hoy and I always joke about that. He's the best to draft with because he's like 6 feet, 100 inches. Like he's just, and he talks all the time. So it's the perfect guy. But listen, we encourage each other. We don't just encourage each other like, rah, rah, bro. We encourage each other with the good news. But what the angels say in Advent, when we studied it, I bring you good news that will bring great joy for all the people. That today in the town of David, a Savior has come. Listen, the good news we encourage each other with is not like, tomorrow will be great, have a lovely day. Like, that's not what we encourage each other with. We encourage each other with the fact that our Savior has come and there is good news. That's what our encouragement is toward one another. That's why it feels so encouraging. I remember the first bike trip that I took with my small group. I have this group of guys that we've been in a small group forever, and one of them said, hey, we should take a bike trip together, and the others were like, great, how do I buy a bike? Like we did, and we did it. And we went to Spain together to ride on a multi-day trip. And I remember the first day of that trip, Rick Capra had the worst day. And he, to the day of his passing, like he remembers this story like, that was the worst day of my life. Like, I couldn't believe I came. I hated all of you. I hated God. I hated Spain. Like, it was the worst. Well, and in his defense, I planned this trip and I booked it with an English company and they said the trip was called the Cheeky Coles. I don't know what either of those words mean. It was an English company who had this tour operator in Spain. Cheeky means like pesky, sassy, and Coles means mountain pass. So we booked a trip called Sassy Mountain Passes. I didn't know that. So day one, we climbed two mountains and it was crazy and it was awful. And Rick was like, if I had a car right now, like, do they have Uber in the wilds of Spain? I'm going home. But as I watched, we rode together, as I watched guys just pulling in front of him to let him draft on the flats, coming alongside him on the hills and just talking, speaking to his heart about the things, the reasons why he came on this trip. One of the guys had gone through a really hard year, and so we were there to really encourage him and speaking into his heart for that brother and that situation, and we watched him get encouraged. The reason I tell you that story is by day two, he was a different man. And he was the one that was doing great. And when he saw that others were struggling, he was the one circling back, retracing his steps, and then coming back and riding alongside to encourage others. That picture to me is so, so beautiful. We meet together to encourage one another. And when you look at the text again, I think, thank you for having it up there, Andrea. You look at it, we're not going to give up meeting. That was my whole sermon 6 years ago, but we're not going to give up meeting. We had to in COVID, but also life does stuff for us. And we end up being like, oh, we're out of habit of going, I was going to say. Let me finish that. But I wanted to add this, just pastorally, like, we get that, you guys. There's no shame in that. Listen, you get out of the habit, you don't come back with your tail between your legs. You don't stay away because you're like, geez, I haven't been to church in a year or 6 months or 2 years. Like, is that who we are? That's not who we are. Like, we're like, get back. Like, life gets in the way. But the encouragement, what we do, we encourage each other. Let's not give this up. It's too important what happens here. Let's not give this up. And so we do organize our lives. We meticulously organize our life around this becoming the path of least resistance. Like, this is what we do, and this is what we plan for, and this is what we're a part of, and so we're here. And so we're going to keep encouraging you toward that, but we understand how that happens. We're not going to give up. And then it says that as some are in the habit of doing, because this is about building habits. And we get out of habits, and new habits get built, and friends, we can restore those habits. And I just want to encourage you. You're here for a reason. You're here because you're looking for a relationship with God and with God's people. And you're going to find it here. And that's not always easy. And it's not always effortless. And it's costly, the things you're going to miss. My goodness, there's a great morning NFL game today. And if you're a Bills fan, this feels costly. But we're not going to. Obviously, that's a dumb joke because there's way more costly things, right? So we're not going to give up, and we're going to create other habits, and we're going to encourage one another. And I just love that phrase in the text. We're going to be, you know, encourage one another. As I've been talking about this, that's the whole point that I've been making, is that we gather to encourage one another. But because encouraging is not a rah-rah thing. It is giving courage to someone. Because God knows we need courage to fight the battles that are in our lives. We need courage to go through the difficulties in our lives. We need courage to contend for the things that are most important. We need courage. And that should inspire every heart in this room. Like, I want to contend for the things that are most important, but that is incredibly difficult at times. And we need courage to do that. So we're going to gather together to encourage. And all the more as we see the day, meaning the day of God's return approaching. And the day, when you see the day in scripture, it means the return of Christ, the day that of all things ending on this earth. And it's huge. It doesn't just mean, hey, Jesus is coming back. It also means that things are getting worse until that time. So when you see the day is coming and the day is on its way, it's also a way of saying there's hope, but also this is sucks and it's going to keep sucking. Like, life is not easy. And so we need it all the more. Okay. Well, that was my, I don't have time for this, but I'm going to do it anyway. This slide, this quote from Bonhoeffer, I'm going to tax your brain with three slides of a pretty lengthy quote here from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, but I want you to look at it with me. The Christian needs another Christian who speaks God's word to him. Excuse the exclusive language he wrote in another era. He wrote this, I think, maybe in the 40s. So excuse the, you know, masculine, all the masculine exclusive language, but the Christian needs another Christian who speaks God's word to him. He needs him again and again when he becomes uncertain and discouraged. Next slide. He needs his brother or sister, of course, as a bearer and proclaimer of the divine word of salvation. Now stop. I know you're reading it. Look at me. This is the good news that we share. This is where we bring encouragement. We're bringing encouragement about the good news of Jesus. He needs his brother as a bearer and proclaimer of the divine word of salvation. The Christ in his own heart is weaker than the Christ in the word of his brother. His own heart is uncertain, and his brother's is sure. I love that phrase, that the Christ in his own heart is weaker than the Christ in the word of his brother. When we speak truth to each other, we're speaking truth. Even if our hearts are uncertain, we're speaking truth. We're speaking truth of the good news about Jesus, and we speak that into one another, and that strengthens one another. This inspires me so much. And the last part of this quote, and that also clarifies the goal of all Christian community. They meet one another as bringers of the message of salvation. That's why we unapologetically keep bringing Jesus to you. I'm not going to just bring you positive thoughts. I'm not going to give you three little self-help things and a poem. Like, that's not what we preach. We preach the word of God and the story of Jesus, that he rescues us from a life without God. And he gives us life as it was intended to give. By the way, if you do not know that story and you do not have a relationship with Jesus yet, we want to talk with you and want to help you find that. If you're like, I need to figure that out, come meet with us and let's talk, because it's what we bring. And that is what's so encouraging. We encourage one another that this is true, that Jesus is real, that he brings salvation, and that life is found in him. And so that's what we're going to do. All right, that was point number one. Ready? 4 minutes, I'm gonna give you two more points, okay? Number two, we gather together to spur one another on. So it's different. We gather together to encourage one another was the point I just made, but we gather together to spur one another on. Look at verse 24 again. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And then it goes on, you know, not giving up meeting together, but spurring one another on toward love and good deeds. And this isn't just spurring one another on to, you know, do the Boy Scout code of honor, like to good deeds. This is about to live into what is right, surrendering our lives to Christ and being obedient, faithful to him. Let us consider how we move one another forward in this spiritual journey of life as it was designed to live with God. That's the idea. But what's funny about this verse is that it uses the language, let's spur one another on. And listen, I've said to you before, I was born and bred in Oakland. Like, I'm not a horsey guy. Like, I don't know that. But I also think, ooh, that's probably not okay. Like, spurs? Like, is that a thing? But from a little bit of research and talking to horsey people, like, they're like, no, there is this, the skilled riders have a very humane approach to this. We may spurring one another on is not a politically incorrect, like, let's beat an animal. Like, this is, supposedly there's first this gentle calf pressure against the sides of a horse. I can see some horsey people being like, yes. You should come give this sermon yourself, Tracy. There's this gentle, now think about the imagery here that we gather together to do this for one another. That there's this gentle pressing in of the legs against the horse to begin to communicate. And if needed, a little bit of a press with the heel. And then if only necessary, a brief gentle touch with the spur. And so the point is that spurs, the sharp part of the spurs, are a last result for clarity. They're not the primary tool. And so this is what somebody told me. The spur is a tool for finesse and conversation, never domination. The skilled rider represents gentle encouragement and accountability. And so this progression of calf and then heel and then a little spur mirrors how we gradually work with one another to encourage each other, even to the point of some hard conversations, to say, this is the most loving and holy thing to live this way. Like, let's live this way toward the most important things. And it's a mutual, loving, guiding, encouraging accountability and spurring. It's not pain. It's not fear. If you've ever had an experience in the Church of Jesus where you were spurred with pain and fear, I'm really sorry. That's not the gospel. The gospel is God's grace and truth, where we come alongside one another and we gently squeeze. We gently move toward the things that we agree are the most important things, and that's helpful. So we gather together for encouragement, we gather together to spur one another on. Third, we gather together for spiritual power. We gather together for spiritual power. Band, why don't you guys come out, because I'll just finish this point when you guys are here getting ready. They may not be ready, so they'll come out whenever they are. I told them earlier that I was going to wait, but we gather together for spiritual power. This is interesting. We don't necessarily see this in this text, so I'm going to give you another text in a second, but we gather together for spiritual power. There's something that happens when God's people get together that spiritual power flows and is magnified into our gathering simply by being together. Did you know that? This is a supernatural encounter. This is a spiritual experience to be in this room. Some of you may have felt that before. Some of you may have felt you've walked into this room and you've experienced something going on in here. And your spiritual spidey senses, we used the word magic earlier, I just used spidey senses, in Jesus. You're like, there's a thing going on here. I may have told the story before, but a friend of mine's, we were at a memorial here and his mom was at this thing and she was like 90 something and she, I was in here, I went and grabbed my notes. We're having the reception out. There was a memorial service. We were having a reception out in the hallway, and I went back here to get some stuff, and I was on my way back, and I was toward the end of the thing, I was leaving, and this woman comes walking down this aisle right over here with a walker. And she gets to me and she goes, "There you are." And I'm like, "What?" She said, "I needed to come find the pastor." And I'm like, "What? Yeah, what? Like, what's the deal?" And she said, "What's going on in here?" I'm like, "What do you mean?" She's like, "What is going on in here, in this thing, in this movement, in this room?" She wasn't part of our church. But she was a believer in Jesus from another, from the East Bay. And she's like, "What's happening here? I feel the presence of God in this very space." And I'm like, "I think what you're saying is, yeah, we're asking God to come and show up and meet us. We're engaging with spiritually hungry people and moving them toward the good news of Jesus." And I said to her, I remember saying to her, "We don't really know what we're doing, but we're just asking God to come and move and come and meet us." And she goes, "That's it. That's it. That's what's going on here." And then she immediately drops her head, puts her hand on my shoulder and starts praying, "Holy Spirit, come into this church. Come and do your work in this place. When people walk in here, may they know the love of God and may they confess their sin and know no shame, but be welcomed into the arms." Like, she just went all in. It's like a little holy space right over there for me every time I walk down. See, when we gather together, there's spiritual power because it's the Holy Spirit. Here's the text, and I'll wrap with this. Just having us look at this text together. This is from Psalms, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity." So this is, we gather together, friends, life together, the couch, the announcements, it's about God is at work. I'm gonna get to the rest of the text, so I don't want you to miss this. "How good and pleasant it is when we gather together because we're reminding ourselves that God's at work. It's a foundation for doing more life together. The announcements are saying, let's join in to do more of that. It's good and pleasant when God's people live together in unity." It's like verse 2, it's like precious oil poured on the head. Oil in Scripture is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. This is where you find the secret. Why is there spiritual power when we gather together? Because it's the Spirit gets poured out over the top of all of our heads. There's an anointing that happens when we get together and do life together that by extension doesn't happen when we don't do life together, when we walk it alone. And so the spiritual power, the oil poured, the Holy Spirit anointing over everyone who lives this way, running down on the beard, it says, you see it? Running down on Aaron's beard, he's the priest, down on the collar of his robe. The idea here is that there isn't just a polite drop of the Holy Spirit anointing. God bless you as you go. God bless you in your problem. That sounds like a hard thing you're going through. God bless you. That's not just a little a drop of anointing. This is pouring out down over the priest's robe, and we're all priests. Pouring down, dripping off of his beard, splattering everywhere. Have you ever spilled oil? It's a mess. You can't clean it up. And it's just everywhere. And the idea is when the brothers and sisters dwell together in unity, when we do life together, the Holy Spirit gets poured out in such a crazy, generous way. And that's what we need. You don't need my self-help recommendations. You need the Spirit of God who transforms. And then it goes on to say, it's as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. You're like, what? Well, my group that's studying the Bible and the MCCU class is going to tell you the dew of Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon is the mountain in the north of Israel that was known for its refreshing, cool temperatures, abundant, lush environment. And it's like when the Holy Spirit comes in the midst of his people, it's like the refreshment that falls on the mountaintops would actually come and fall in the more arid and dry places where we're thirsty and thirsting to death. And so, friends, how good and pleasant is it when brothers and sisters dwell together in unity? It's so good, because the Holy Spirit gets poured out even into the driest, most parched land. Why do we do couch time? Because we're telling you God's at work. Why do we do announcements? Because we're inviting you to your next steps in your relationship with him and your partnership with us in all that God's doing in the world. And that brings life even to the driest place. Man, you're welcome for announcements. Let's stand together, worship in response to the goodness of our God.